Hello and welcome to another edition of the South Carolina Business Review. This is Mike Switzer. You probably heard that when Aretha Franklin passed away, she did not have a will, leaving an estate worth approximately $60 million that will end up paying close to $20 million in taxes. And our next guest says, you don't have to have a multi-million dollar estate to need a will, but many people continue to never make one. Andy Merline is an estate planning attorney. He joins us now by phone from his office in Greenville, South Carolina. Andy, welcome.
Thanks, Mike, for having me. I appreciate it.
Let's just jump right in here. What happens if one passes away without a will?
When we don't have a will, we rely on state law in South Carolina that's known as intestacy. So without going into grave detail about what that law says, let me just give you an example. Suppose you've got a husband and a wife with two minor children. Husband passes away. The wife would think would inherit everything. But our state law actually says the wife gets half and the two minor children get half. That's problematic from the get-go, and now the wife, the guardian of the children, doesn't have sole control of marital assets. On top of that, our courts are going to make the minor children have what's called a conservatorship set up to hold those assets until they turn 18. And typically, those are not invested in a way that you would typically think assets are invested. So they don't grow very much. Think of it kind of like a bank account with a low interest rate. So we want to override that scenario, obviously, and say what we actually want to have happen, give flexibility rather than relying on the state law.
Okay, so go into more detail then on what does a will do?
Number one, it disposes of the assets. In that scenario I gave, we could override the state law and say my wife will inherit my home, my cash, all of my property. If my wife is not around, then those assets would pass to my children. What we would typically say is we would provide a trust to be created for those children in the event they're under a certain age. And it's not just under age 18 if they're minors. Typically, we'll have trust last until children are at least 25 or 30. Because when children inherit, or really not just children, but if you inherit large amounts of assets and you're 18, 19 years old, not great things can happen. So we're typically having these trusts last until 25 or 30, and they're protected, as in a trustee manages the money. They can pay for the child's health care, education, general living expenses. And then at a designated age, such as 30, 25, 35, or even staggered ages, the trust assets can go outright to the child to be theirs. That's how we designate who our assets pass to. On top of that, we have to name certain people. One is the personal representative. They're sometimes known as the executor. And their job is to make sure that these assets actually go where we designate. If we have a trust created for minors, again, we have to have a trustee. That can be the same person as the personal representative, but their job is to manage assets for those trust beneficiaries.
And of course, once you've set up a will, it kind of follows that there are some other documents that you might as well go ahead and set up as well.
Yes, definitely. A couple, actually. Number one is what's known as a general or a durable power of attorney. Essentially, that document lets you give authority to someone else to act on your behalf. So an example would be you are incapacitated. You give authority to someone else to sign documents for you or sell an asset or pay a bill since you cannot. Another one is a counterpart to that called a medical power of attorney. So you're incapacitated. You give your agent the authority to make a medical decision or give informed consent to the doctor on your behalf if you can't. Oftentimes, people will do what's called a living will with a power of attorney. If you've been to the hospital, you've probably been asked, do you have a living will? If you don't, you need to make it clear that you do not have one. And then the last part that kind of ties everything together is what's known as beneficiary wording. So things like life insurance or retirement accounts. Those actually are not controlled by your will. They're controlled by the beneficiaries you designate on the form attached to those. So for instance, if your will says everything to my wife, but your life insurance beneficiary says everything to my kids, you have an inconsistency. So So making sure those forms are coordinated with the will and are correct is crucial to a well-balanced estate plan.
Well, Andy, great information. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
All right. Thanks again, Mike, for having me.
Andy Merline is an estate planning attorney in Greenville, South Carolina. We will have a link to his firm posted at our webpage so you can learn more. Our address is southcarolinapublicradio.org, where you can hear this show again and subscribe to this podcast. With the South Carolina Business Review, this is Mike Switzer.
The views expressed on the South Carolina Business Review do not necessarily reflect those of South Carolina Public Radio.